You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. This is Two Neeks United for Podcasting. Of course, my co-host, Mr. Q Storm. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm working on part two of my European trip. I'm going to have that out hopefully by the weekend.
All right. Yeah, I saw the first video. It was very good. So I want to see what happens next.
All right. Definitely. Thank you.
All right, so the first story today is on Robin Thicke, and this is the ongoing lawsuit in regards to his hit song, Blurred Lines. Some people were calling that the song of the summer, I would argue, but hey, I'm not in the pop world.
Maybe last summer, not this summer.
Yeah, well, you're right. And the song is, of course, produced by Pharrell, and also T.I. is featured on the song. Now, here's the thing. There was a lawsuit by Robin Thicke, T.I., and Pharrell against the Gaye family, Marvin Gaye family, you know, saying that, hey, you know what? We don't want to be sued by you saying that these songs sound alike. So they sort of had a preemptive strike, which is a very odd thing to do. And the reason why they probably had that was because people were comparing these two songs together. And of course, yes, the Gaye family responded and has come forward with litigation, lawsuit, saying that, hey, these songs do sound similar and this could be some copyright infringement. And now recently, this is starting to hit the courts, and the Gaye family actually has presented was like an audio mashup to the courts, sort of playing the songs back to back so you can kind of hear the similar elements of the two songs. Now, I'm going to stop here and ask you, another song has been out for a while, but the song in question would be the Marvin Gaye song, Got to Give It Up. And I'm sure you have heard that other song, Q. Just off the top of your head, do you think these songs sound somewhat similar or have some similar elements possibly?
Do they sound similar? When I first heard the song, I was like, oh, they re-released a Marvin Gaye's track? Okay. And then he started singing. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Right.
So, yeah, they sound similar.
All right, so now what has happened is that Pharrell and Robin Thicke have given depositions to the court about these, and the court has actually released at least the transcript versions of their depositions to the public. They did not release the video part of it, which would probably have been hilarious and crazy if they did, but they just released the transcripts. So I want to get into a little bit of this because it's very interesting and kind of shows you where the music business is and, you know, all of those stuff that goes on. So Robin Thicke, and I'm actually checking out Hollywood Reporter. They have a great article on this. But here's some of the parts that Robin Thicke basically admits that he didn't actually write the song. As the song was released, he was credited as one of the producers and songwriter. But he admits in the deposition that he, in fact, did not write the song. And he was only barely there when the song was being created. And he was high at the time. And he says that Pharrell actually created the track himself. You know, he came in, did his thing on it, sung on it, but that it was all written by Pharrell. And he had lied to the press saying such that, yeah, I did actually create, I helped produce the song and all this kind of stuff. So that in itself is a little funny style, but.
You mean, if you mean by funny style that he's trying to throw Pharrell under the bus, I agree.
That and the fact that, you know, as some people may not be aware, a lot of these artists, quote unquote artists, when they say that they're writing and producing these songs, they don't have nothing to do with them. They just put their voice on them, right? It's a game. Now, he talks about some other stuff in terms of, like, he was always high when he was doing his media interviews back in the day last year, which I don't care about that. I mean, whatever. Snoop Dogg's probably always high too. You know, that's rock and roll. The funny thing to me, though, is a part where the lawyers play the two songs together. And I actually went and read the deposition because I wanted to see what was being said. But Robin Thicke, he went into this whole thing about how he couldn't even listen to, like, turn that off. Like, he wasn't even trying to listen to it because he, you know, was some of his quotes. He says, it's so hard to listen to. It's like nails on a fucking chalkboard. Then he says a comparison. He said, this is like Stanley Kubrick's movie Clockwork Orange, where he has to sit there and watch. Mozart would be rolling in his grave right now.
And what's he talking talking about? What is this?
He's talking about listening to the mashup of the Marvin Gaye song and his song, you know, sort of going back and forth, trying to compare it. And he goes to this whole thing like, those are minor chords and major chords. No musician would do. You can't listen to this.
What?
It's hilarious when you read it. So I'm like, this motherfucker is bullshit.
Is he trying to say, I don't understand. Is he talking about the mashup itself, or is he talking about his song and Marvin Gaye's song that he didn't like the?
No, he's talking about the mashup of listening to them. I don't know if they're playing them over one another at certain points and then back to back, but he's just, he can't even listen to it. He's like, I fucking can't listen to it. This is, you know, I was like, wow. And I'm like, the dude's like, dude, just bear with it, because I want to ask you some questions in regards to what this sounds like. And it's just funny, like, people, it's one of those situations where he's getting called on his bullshit. And a lot of this you don't ever see in the public, because a lot of these entertainers or celebrities or people in the public eye, they never really own up to the bullshit sometimes when they get called to the carpet. And it's interesting to sit here and watch a situation where a guy's getting fucking called to the carpet, like, dude, cut the shit. You know, and there's one part where the lawyer's asking him, he says, do you know Stevie Wonder? And he's like, no, I don't know him. I'm an acquaintance. He's like, okay, but you know who the fuck he is.
And he's like, wait, hold on. He said he did not know who Stevie Wonder was?
Well, I think the guy framed it in was like, are you friends with Stevie Wonder? That's how he said it at first. He says, okay. No, I don't know him. He says, okay, but I'm an acquaintance. I've been in the room with him before, something like that, he says. He says, dude, do you know if Pharrell knows Stevie Wonder? Yeah, the lawyer started trying to basically solidify that. Well, you know who Stevie Wonder is, and that Stevie Wonder has come out and said this shit sounds alike. And he tried to sidestep it by saying Robin Thicke was like, well, I have never heard of any reputable songwriter say that they sound alike. That I respect.
What? So he's saying Stevie Wonder's not a reputable songwriter? Well,
I don't know, man. It just, the way he answers the questions, he's like, he's a guy that doesn't want to own up to it. So he's just trying to, nah, I don't know him. And so he said, well, have you ever heard anybody aside from a reputable songwriter that you know said these songs sound? No. And he's like, you have to let me answer the question. You have to read it for yourself. It's hilarious.
Yeah, let me just say, you know, you're a father. I don't know. I'm sure you've experienced this when you know your kid has done something wrong and you sit him down and question him, like, you know, did you get in trouble at school? Well, what had happened was, and this and that, and they give you a bullshit answer that makes you even more mad than what the trouble was. That's what this is.
That's when that Adrian Peterson comes out. No, I'm just joking.
I mean, seriously, how much does he stand to lose a lot of money and I ask that because, dude, just own up to it and keep it moving. You're making yourself look worse.
I think, and you know, we did a show about this months ago, but I think the ramifications behind this lawsuit would be huge, I imagine, because then it calls into question the publishing and the company that's administering the publishing, and why did they allow that song to be released, because they represent both artists. And why did they allow that song to be released knowing that it infringes on something else that they are supposed to be in control of, and they're not paying the people who's... So I think it would bust open a lot of shit.
Yeah, but it might. But still, okay, so just take the L, like, you know, as you say, take the L, cut the Gaye family a check. They're not going to bankrupt, I don't know who published the song, are they?
It calls into question, then, should these people be administering any publishing, which is, you're talking probably millions and billions of dollars at this point. It's a big, for him, he could take the L probably, but the ramifications of him and his career would be taking probably the forever L and blackballing himself out of the industry, possibly. Like I said, I think when we talked about it months ago, we showed how really they was trying to go after the record company and the publishing company that's supposed to be the ones taking care of this situation, and they're not. And so they're starting with him first. And they're going to make their way up the chain. And I think if he takes the L, then they have to lose at the top, which they probably don't want that to happen.
Well, I remember in the early 90s that Michael Bolton was accused of plagiarism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was like an OJ song or a Spinner song or
something like that. Yeah. So the difference though is the company that administering those royalties did not represent Bolton and the company that's suing the artist that's suing.
Be that as it may, my point was, I don't think Michael Bolton's career ever recovered from that. So that would indicate that you just don't want to do this. And that would be the answer to why doesn't he just cut the check. But I'm also curious. I got two questions. Why isn't Pharrell, why isn't he sweating right now? Because he did write a major portion of that song. And my other question is, if they're going after Robin Thicke was the singer, you know, I don't know if it's been established that he wrote any of the song. Maybe they are making that case. But I don't know why Pharrell's not in that courtroom.
Oh, he is.
Oh.
As I said, both of them gave depositions.
Oh, and then the other question is, how come all these rappers and hip-hop artists are not being called to the carpet?
Well, for the most part, they are paying their licenses and royalties for these tracks that they sample. The normal thing is that you could never put out a song like this unless that stuff was cleared. So that's
we talk about James Brown getting ripped off all the time.
Right, and so once it got to the point where it became the norm to clear samples, yeah, you couldn't put out no James Brown stuff if you wasn't paying the money. But that's normally why, and that's why a lot of sampling stopped. You know, and hip-hop sort of changed musically because it got to be too expensive to sample all these people. But people were paying. That was the whole point. People were paying and getting their publishing or including, you know, you'll see a lot of the Tupac stuff and you'll see Bootsy Collins' name in the writing credits. So they were giving their, you know, the publishing to these people. But okay, this particular case, they did not do it. And not only did they just not get it cleared, but the company they should have cleared it with is probably the one that's told, just go ahead and put it out anyway, because it's our shit. Like, we represent them. So if we don't say nothing, they're not going to say nothing. But obviously, they were wrong.
I wasn't aware of that. I thought sampling was still kind of like, I thought that whole issue of sampling in hip hop had never been resolved, but okay.
Oh, no. Check the credits, a lot of them, the big hits.
Speaking of check the credits, I don't have this album. Was this a Robin Thicke album that the song was on?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have that CD, but I wonder what the liner notes say in terms of who wrote, who produced, and who performed on the song. Wouldn't that?
Well, yeah. So it says, you know, I'm reading it. So despite having limited input into the creation of Blurred Lines, to his own admittance, Thicke was given a co-written credit, which he says entitles him to 18 to 22% of the publishing royalties. Now it says, now why would Pharrell Williams be so generous? And here's Pharrell's answer. It says, this is what happens every day in our industry. And this is in his deposition. He says, you know, people are made to look like they have much more authorship in a situation than they actually do. That's where the embellishment comes in.
So, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
So he admits that, hey, I wrote this song. You know, I did the song before he even got in there. But
right. So why is Robin Thicke the one in the courtroom at all? Why isn't it?
Well, as I said, they're both in there. They're both named.
Understand why is he? Why is Robin Thicke the one that the spotlight's being put on?
Well, because one, he is the artist, and two, whether he did it or not, he is credited as being the writer. So you got to go after who it says wrote the song, right? Now, that may change things going forward because no one knew that. They just looked at the credits and it said he did it.
It's just interesting. Back in...
Well, and real quick to say that, okay, why are they in a hot seat? They're in a hot seat because they sued first, which is unheard of.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you, of course, they're going to be in a hot seat.
You know, it's funny. back in, what was it, 2004, I'm going to say, when Janet and Justin both lost their minds and had the wardrobe malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone listening knows how we flow here, so don't take this the wrong way, but Justin, his career soared. Janet's crashed. And it's funny to see that it's kind of balanced out here. It's Robin who is taking most of the heat in the press, not Pharrell.
Yeah, you know, I think Robin's thing is he had the whole Paula thing play, and so he has that dealing with it. But if he didn't have that situation and he just had this music, I think people have to understand. To me, I have a problem. I don't have a problem with Robin Thicke. Like, he's corny. Like, he's doing historically what a lot of the busters in the game do.
Damn.
but for real, that's where I have a real issue. Now let's get into some of the stuff he was talking about. Producer says that he was in the driver's seat on this particular song, but does give Thick some credit in a rather interesting section that seems to imply that white people are victims and beneficiaries of racial discrimination in the music business. This is very interesting.
What? They're victims and beneficiaries?
Exactly. That's Hollywood Reporter's take on it. But here's what he says. The question is, in your view, and he's talking to Pharrell, in your view, what holds blurred lines together throughout the different sections? Pharrell says, what holds it together? Question, yeah. Well, Pharrell says, Robin Thicke's voice. Question, does the bass line and the keyboard hold the songs together through the different sections? Pharrell, no. Question, why not? Pharrell goes on to say, it's the white man singing soulfully, and we, unfortunately, in this country, don't get enough. We don't get to hear that as often, so we get excited by it when the mainstream gives that a shot. But there's a lot of incredibly talented white folk that really, with really soulful vocals. So when we're able to give them a shot, and when I say we, I mean like us in the public gives them a shot to be heard, then you hear the Justin Timberlakes, and you hear the Christina Aguilera's, and you hear, you know, all these masterful voices that have just been given, you know, an opportunity to be heard because they're doing something different.
What the fuck does that mean?
That means dum bum bum bum. Really, Pharrell?
So he's saying that there are white singers that have soulful voices, and that's very true. But we have to give them a shot because we don't get to hear it as often.
I guess I don't know what he was. I don't even really know what he was trying to mean when he said that, because it just sounds weird. Either way, it just sounds ridiculous to me. Like, okay. I mean, he went somewhere where he didn't even need to go. Like, so you're saying the song works because it's white people doing soul music, and we want to hear. I mean, that's to me the problem.
Well, let me just say, he says we don't get to hear that as often, as though it's an issue.
And it's not.
No, it's not.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know where he was trying to go. Where he went makes it worse, in my opinion.
I think we're hearing that more now. You got with your Nikki DeCostas and Natasha Bedingfield, with your what's the woman who she's kind of heavy set but young girl.
Was it Lord or something?
Well, I wouldn't call her soulful, but the
I
one
know who you're talking about. I just don't know. I can't, yeah.
She had an album called 21. Her name starts with an A.
A, yes. I know the listeners are like, you mother.
Yeah.
Adele,
yes. Yeah. You got voices like hers. You still got Michael McDonald in the game. You got all these.
Justin Timberlake's. Yeah.
Justin.
Bieber.
Ah, please don't say that.
Well, to me, that's the thing. Like, well. See, this is I don't get it, man. I'm like, listen. But that's how I look at Pharrell. I look at his career, and I look at where he first started. And if I was in that courtroom, I'd be like, man, are you trying to, you know, you trying to say you don't? And plus, I would just go back to the fact that you don't think this has anything to do with Marvin Gaye and all that. And I would pull one of his first tracks. What's that? Zoom, 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 in a boom, boom. Shake, shake your rump.
That was Pharrell?
Yes. And I'd be like, dude, you was sampling. Well, again, he worked for Teddy. That was his first joint.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'd be like, dude, you was sampling James and shit back then. You going to try to tell me that's how every song you do is pulling from something. Don't play these games. But like I say, man, it's just interesting, and we're going to watch how this thing sort of plays out. But I say, and as you brought up, I hold Pharrell's feet to the fire right along with the rest of them. Because.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, it's not right, man. You got to respect the legends in the game. If you're going to use Marvin Gaye, that's fine. Just say, yeah, of course we took from Marvin Gaye. And, you know, He's great. We brought, we came up on this. Of course we're going to use it. But don't act like you creating some new shit and then just shit on the legends as if they don't exist. Come on, man. This is why they're in the situation they're in now. Because they didn't want to respect the legends. And they thought that probably, oh, Marvin Gaye and them, they ain't going to say nothing. And, you know, the dudes in front of them who was in charge of their situation said, oh, don't worry about it. We got it.
Well, he's made a lot. He's made, well, I'm not going to say a lot. A couple of missteps in the past this year.
Who's
with
this?
Pharrell. He's made a few missteps that he seems to have dodged. He had the incident on some magazine cover where he was wearing an Indian or Native American tribal headdress.
I remember that a little bit, yeah.
The whole...
There's something about his cover of his album people were...
No, it was a mag. It was a, like a Vogue or some magazine like that.
No, I mean, remember when the cover of the album came out?
Yes, that was the next thing I was going to say. That they were all European looking, Caucasoid looking women.
Hysterical.
And you know, I'll just say one thing, and it had to be said. I guess he's not so happy now.
Hilarious.
I know that's corny, but it had to be said.
Yeah,
that's why he's not getting his feet held to the fire. He had a hit song.
True. Yeah, I just don't. I don't like the whole "let's sue them first." If you got to do that and you're
that strategy, right? I don't get that strategy.
If you got to do that and you're making music, then you in the wrong. You got the game all fucked up. Like,
what was the lawsuit based on? His lawsuit.
It says the lawsuit filed by Thick Williams and T.I. in an effort to protect Blurred Lines against claims of being a ripoff.
Is that so? So I think we have a new chapter in this show because we talked about this before. O.J. Simpson, if I kill him, this is how I would have done it or something like that.
Yeah, it says going back to last year, actually almost just a little over a year ago, Thick Pharrell and Clifford Harris Jr., which is T.I., claims they were threatened by Gaye's family and Funkadelic rights owners, who each asserted that the summer hit was an original. So,
okay,
yeah, they knew what was up. All right,
well, I guess Robin is also getting some trouble because he just hasn't made very good choices.
Yeah, you know, he needs to go on a road with CeeLo.
No.
The I'm Sorry Tour.
Well, I saw a photo of him recently. He cut his hair. He looks like he's very short cropped now.
Yeah, it looks like he got some. He needs to go take a seat, man. He's got issues, man.
Well, that's what I said. He needs to go. My new phrase. He needs to go take a seat on the far end of the bench.
Yep. Yep. Lost his woman.
Just shut up.
He's album flop. All right, let's get away from those suckers, man.
Wow.
That's right, I said it. Shout out to Big Sex. All right, next up, man, I want to talk about this. This is kind of weird, but I want to talk about the whole Apple U2 album thing.
Yes, help me understand this, Mike.
So last week they announced the new Apple, the new iPhones and all that stuff?
Was it last week? Yeah,
was it last week?
Yeah.
Seems long ago. But and even at the end of that conference, when they announced they were bringing up U2 to the stage, I tuned out at that point. So I missed the whole part where they must have announced that, hey, we're giving away their album for free. I just had no idea. I didn't care anyway.
Well, we discussed that, didn't we? That they would give the album away for free to, because it might be doing some concert dates or something. We were talking about it in the context of Prince.
Okay.
Yeah, remember?
I don't, but it sounds familiar.
Okay.
So, and now here we are a week later, and there's this whole controversy of Apple, you know, inserting or downloading this album onto everybody's copy of iTunes. And the outrage from the consumers on this. And on this is what I put this on, I don't know if it was on Facebook or something, but I said, might have been Twitter, but I was like, remember we used to download music that we never paid for? You know, that's sort of the thing. Like, you would download a such and such album. And now the industry says, look, we're going to give you the fucking album. And we're crying about it. I just thought that was hilarious.
We're not crying about it. They are.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about just in consumers in general.
I know.
So here's the thing. It says Apple spending up to $100 million, which is crazy. But spend $100 million on that YouTube album that nobody wants or likes. And this is from
Why they gave it away for free. They got paid.
Well, that's what I'm saying. God, who can get $100 million for an album? That was a payday like a mother.
I'm saying $100 million?
Whew, was it really that good? But nonetheless, people are upset. I guess it comes down to privacy, maybe, that, you know, I didn't ask for this, and how dare you sort of push this on me? I'm going to let you go ahead and give me your opinion on this first before I weigh in.
This is just proof that Americans don't know what the hell they want. I'm reading this, the article. Sasha Frere Jones, a critic at the New Yorker, says, "Don't shove your music into people's homes." A U2 album that some would have taken seriously was instead turned into an album that seems as pointless as it probably is. Lack of consent is not the future. So someone is giving you free shit and you're complaining about it. And it's U2. I thought the target audience that goes out and buys these phones every 6 months, or I'm saying 6 months, every year. I thought U2 was a group or band that they listened to. So I thought it was a perfect marketing strategy. I don't understand the anger. I really don't. It's free. If you don't like it, just don't listen to it. What are they upset about?
Well, I think I've seen some people say, you know what? I think it's just the whole intrusion of we're in this whole privacy thing. And it's like, how are you allowed to just put something, say, on my phone, if you have an iPhone, and I didn't want it. Like, I only have a certain amount of hard drive space on this thing as it is. And here you are putting this thing that I don't want. Even if they probably did like YouTube, I think some people took it as, like I said, a disrespect or something. Like, I didn't ask for this. How dare you intrude on my personal thing? But the thing is, though.
Well, it's in the cloud, first of all, so it's not taking up hard drive space unless you download it to your phone.
Right. But the thing is, I think, too, that people have to understand is when you install these programs on your computer, whether it's iTunes or a lot of these apps. I heard this yesterday, and a guy asked a great question. He said, how many people actually take the time to read the terms and conditions that they just agree to when they click yes, install? Like, nobody does. So you're giving up the right to tell them you don't want something. You're basically saying you have your way. A lot of these things are saying, hey, I'm trading this free for you to take all my information or for you to push down something on me. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what we agree to do.
Well, plus, we don't own iTunes or its subsidiary elements like the cloud. I mean, the fact is they change iTunes every year. We don't have any say in that. They own the cloud. We're leasing from the cloud, if anything. So Apple can do what they want with their product. I don't understand it. I wish I could get that Warner Brothers or DC had a computer interface, and they would force Batman v Superman onto my phone. You think I'm going to complain?
No. You know, the thing is, well, going to that whole cloud thing, I think, though, there's probably some options in that software that allow for, like, automatic downloads of new stuff. So if you probably had that set, then, yeah, it probably does download.
And that's your fault.
Automatically. Huh? Well, true, but I'm just saying that's probably where people come and it's like, whoa, I don't have any space all of a sudden. What's going on? But again, this is the thing. The question, too, is like, this is sort of where we are going to be seeing, like, okay, we've wanted free content. We've participated in this ecosystem in the cloud and these different apps and computer programs and stuff. And this is how we are taking in media. Now we're getting to the point where, as you said, well, we're in their system, we're leasing their thing versus what our expectations might be. And so Apple was like, hey, shit, we got millions of people using this thing. There's our consumer base. We can just push it to them. I mean, fuck it, it's free. What? They have no say, and this is going to be great marketing. Versus with the consumers, now they're starting to push back, like, actually, I want all the free stuff, but I want to still feel like I'm in control. And I think we're getting to the point where it's going to be a slippery slope of what do you have control of and what do they have control of? Like you said, if they push the new Iron Man movie to you, are you going to complain about that? Maybe, probably there'd be less people that do complain at that point. There'll probably be still some people that complain. But again, I think they just miscalculated and felt like, you know what, this is you two, like you said. Yeah, they'll all love this. And I think the changing is to say, you know what? No, they don't. Now, if this had been Beyonce or, you know, something that was even more popular of today, probably would have went with no problem.
Well, that's what you're getting into now. That's what I wonder if this is the issue, is that maybe U2 is not as not as celebrated as they once were by this new, by a new generation of Apple users. That's the only reason I could see people being upset, like, because like you said, if it were an Eminem album or I'm kind of off, I'm not up on the latest album, or a Macklemore or whoever's hot and popping right now, if it were an album like that, I can't imagine people would be, oh well, how dare you shove this on me, when people give up their rights when they go on Facebook and Vimeo and all this every day.
Right, and that may be the case, you know. The people who are running Apple probably still listen to you too, but their consumer base probably does not. They probably would have been had been better served of having Dr. Dre push down, you know, some
that
beats.
Is true.
You know what I mean? That'd have probably been more played to the audience. Oh, okay, yeah. But maybe it was just a bad reading of the consumer tastes on Apple's part.
But you bring up an excellent point. Now, see, what was it? Maybe 15 years ago or 10 years ago, U2 played a big part in Apple's marketing. I think they put out a U2 iPod,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
At some point. That was, what, 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I think in terms of Apple and music, it's not U2 anymore. It is Dr. Dre. They just signed a $2, $3 billion deal, which he was a part of. So I'm doing side eye now. I'm still think that everyone is kind of going off the rails with this being upset, but why would you look to U2? I mean, I know why, but I want to hear someone say it. Why do you look to U2 to be part of your marketing campaign as opposed to Dre?
Yeah. It might have been missed.
Eminem too. He could probably, you know, Throw some chump change M&Ms away, and hey, let's do this gig at Apple up in Cupertino real quick.
I mean, yeah, if you got $100 million to throw away, you could have probably got a few people. You know, you could have got a Kanye, as controversial it would have been, but obviously, you know, somebody that's super relevant of today. But I think whoever they would have got, there would have been some complaining, but it might not have been as big, because like you said, really nobody's really checking for YouTube right now. It would have been interesting if they would have had Prince. I think they still would have been complaining, but I would have liked it.
It's hard to say how people, looking at this, I don't know how people would react anymore, no matter who the artist was.
Yeah. But I've always said they would do stuff like this, where, again, I always thought they would take something like a Star Wars and say, you know what? George, we got to do that deal with you, Lucas. We'll give you whatever you want. Just let us have that new Star Wars movie, and we'll give it away for free. And that'd get us all of the consumers to come and flock to our thing. Now, here's where they did it, but they just took something that nobody even cares about. But it shows the fact that they can do it. The fact that they can spend $100 million on something like this and give it to all their people tells you they can do this. They just got to pick the right thing to do it with to be successful.
Yeah, well, you were exaggerating about Star Wars. That's not going to happen in anybody's lifetime.
Well, no, it's to say, well, George Lucas did a bigger deal. He sold the whole damn thing, right? But I'm saying it would take something like that people care about, that somebody would say, you know what, we can take the big thing and give it away for free. You know, just the whole concept of that.
Yeah. And Apple probably could afford it, but you're looking at a $1 billion deal right there, I think.
Well, actually, you could, but Disney gave them what? A couple billion? And they just said, fuck it, we'll just own it, which is an entirely different thing. They don't own the app. They don't own U2's album.
This sentence right here just makes my head explode. It says, the money doesn't matter as it comes out to about 0.06% of Apple's $164 billion in cash.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, with that kind of money, I think you could possibly cure world hunger. You could cure AIDS, cancer.
They could easily bankroll the new Anybody's album or the new Anybody's movie for that matter. If they got $100 million to blow, you could make your own. You could go get who? You can go get Josh Whedon. You can say, "Listen, we got $100 million budget. We need you to make this record, or make this little movie, so we can put it on the iPhone 7. We're gonna kill them next year." I mean, they could do that.
That's a brilliant. There must be a reason they have, and they've had to have considered that. But that's an excellent idea. I don't know. There has to be a reason that they haven't.
Or they say, you know what? We'll put it in a stream on, what's it called? Apple TV. So they got to go buy it. And Apple TV is only $99. And we got the new, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out. They got the new, whatever, Spider-Man versus Wolverine movie. And we spent $100 million on it. So it's just as good, if not better, than anything that's coming to theaters. But we got to not only change the TV game, we're going to change the movie game. We funded this bitch ourselves.
Do the smart TV, which I've heard rumored, but apparently obviously is not coming out. The smart TV, and you spend money on one of these studios and get a nice property, and you bundle it with with the smart TV.
Yeah, there you go. And boom.
I mean, if you have that much money sitting around, I'm saying it's sitting around, but if it's in cash, it is sitting somewhere. I mean, damn, you could be on some Skynet shit. We're going to take over this bitch.
Who's to say they're not?
Yeah.
Who's to say they're not? All right. Speaking of movies, let's jump into The Avengers Age of Ultron. Disney has released the official synopsis. I'm trying to be like Aunt Pooh. released the official synopsis of the movie. I was hoping that the trailer was going to drop today. Something's supposed to happen. I don't know if it's Avengers related. There was a thing that Robert Downey Jr. tweeted. I guess he either Instagrammed or tweeted yesterday that there was going to be some big surprise today. And he just happened to be wearing the T-shirt that he wore in the Iron Man movie, which just seemed kind of odd. But as of yet, as we've recorded, there's nothing out there yet. But anyway.
Don't y'all know that celebrities like to fuck with us by now?
Yeah. But it was either going to be something related to this movie he's got coming out, I think comes out this week, or again,
right. Yeah, the lawyer or something.
But he was saying something that would disrupt, the workplace. I don't think anything his movie that he's got coming out would do that. But the Avengers trailer certainly would.
Yeah.
With that said, I'm going to read the synopsis here. It says, Marvel Studios presents Avengers Age of Ultron, the epic follow-up to the biggest superhero movie of all time. When Tony Stark tries to jumpstart a dormant peacekeeping program, things go awry. And Earth's mightiest heroes, including Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, the Incredible Hulk, Black Widow, and Hawkeye, are put to the ultimate test as the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. As the villainous Ultron emerges, it is up to the Avengers to stop him from enacting his terrible plans, and soon uneasy alliances and unexpected action pave the way for an epic and unique global adventure. I put that little... Anyway. Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron stars Robert Downey Jr., who returned as Iron Man, along with Chris Evans as Captain America, Chris Hemsworth as Thor and Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk, together with Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow and Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, and with the additional support of Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury and Colby Smulders as Agent Maria Hill, the team must reassemble to defeat James Spader as Ultron, a terrifying technological villain hell-bent on human extinction. Along the way, they confront two mysterious and powerful newcomers, Wanda Maximoff, played by Elizabeth Olsen, and Pietro Maximoff, played by Aaron Tyler Johnson, and meet an old friend in a new form when Paul Brittany becomes Vision.
Stay tuned. Same back time, same back channel.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, Mike, you're just going for the jugular.
But there's the one thing that's interesting is it's as Tony Stark tries to jumpstart a dormant peacekeeping program, which to me would say that he doesn't necessarily create Ultron. Something already has created that. And I'm wondering if they may pull in some of the Ant-Man characters to show them that, hey, actually they created Ultron, which would tie into the, you know, the comic books, how the story works. Which would introduce, obviously they're filming that movie right now, Ant-Man. So maybe this could be a cool way to pull those guys in a little bit and set them up, you know, when their movie comes out.
I would think that, I mean, the two people that are starring in Ant-Man, you would think Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas, you'd think that they would be listed here if that were the case.
Not necessarily. They may want to keep that as a surprise type of thing. I mean, we know that. That those characters sort of interact, but probably the most people don't. But I don't know. I mean, either way, I think it could be a nice surprise. I hope that they have, obviously they don't list him here, but you've seen him in the pictures. What's my guy that plays Rhodes? The black dude?
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle is in the movie, but they don't list him either.
That's true.
I hope that Anthony Mack makes at least a cameo.
I think you can forget that.
Man, I hope they put... That doesn't make sense how he's not in it. Because if it's taking place after the Winter Soldier, I mean, like you, I'm rolling with you, Cap. Let's go.
I agree, but I seem like I want to say I read somewhere where, you know, how at the end of Cap 2, where they say, when do we start? Because Captain America is going after, I guess, after Bucky, right?
Yeah, they go together.
And they show Bucky... in a post-credit scene, but I read somewhere that at the beginning of Avengers 2, their mission is completed. So we don't see the mission.
See, that would be interesting because then where do you pick up the next... It does, now, that would just say that it takes place after Captain America 3. So, you know what I mean? It's weird. Obviously, there's going to be ramifications at the end of Avengers 2 that... can't just be ignored in Captain America 3, and they still have to answer the question of where is the Winter Soldier? Are they going to meet again? Which they said they're going to do. So that's what I'm saying. It's going to be curious how it plays. How long is the gap between?
There's nothing that says that they have. I mean, I want to see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they just write in a line or two that sums up what happened. And you know, there's nothing that's, you know what I'm saying?
You're talking about Captain America 3?
Yeah.
Oh, they've already said they're going to have Winter Soldier and all that. They're going to continue that going.
I know, but I'm saying, what I'm saying is the story, as much as I would want to see it, I would not be surprised if they've already established just through writing that off screen, Captain America and the Falcon located Bucky and turned his head around.
Yeah, I don't see him doing that, though.
I don't know why not.
I just don't see him doing that. I don't think there's enough. You haven't even dealt with the Bucky coming to grips with his situation. I don't see how you could just write that off. But, again.
Well, they did it with Captain America. I mean, they put in a few jokes here and there about him being out of time, but they didn't really, except for the scene with the 5-minute scene at the end of First Avenger, they didn't really deal with him either.
Yeah, I just can't see it, man. I can see them pull him into. I can see a lot of things, but it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens in the Avengers obviously is going to figure out how they do Captain America 3.
Well, they could do, I could see also at the beginning of, if they wanted to tell that story, which honestly, I don't know if I want to see the story because it's going to be more of what we saw in Cap 2, you know, Cap fighting
right.
Bucky. But they could put, 2 years earlier or something like that, or I don't know, you know, two years earlier from mm-hmm. Avengers 2 or something like that, you know. I don't know. It'd be clunky, but I don't know how they I could see them doing it.
Yeah, if we are to believe some of the rumors about the ending of Avengers 2, it is quite possible that Bucky could be pulled into being in the Avengers at the end and it go forward from there. They have said that the new Captain America movie, I thought they would have released this by now. The directors were hinting that whatever the title of that movie is and what it's about, it is something that fans of the comics will almost clamor for. Like, it's a headbuster type of thing. Like, you didn't think we would do this. So I'm curious to whatever it is. It must have something to do with whatever happens after this, and it plays into something bigger. They kept saying, though, it's not Civil War, but then you never really know what they could do, whatever they want to do. But I guess we will see. The anticipation is high.
But yeah, you know, what I would love to see, if we see the Falcon again, and I'll be pissed if we never see him again, is give him a flight suit that's based on the colors of the costume in the book. It doesn't have to be the costume. That would be silly looking, but give him like a pilot suit where it's white and it has red flare on it. Because, I mean, he was dope as hell in that movie, but they just have my man in a green t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so definitely look out for the trailer. Avengers 2 hopefully be dropping very soon. They've announced today that they're going to start shooting Doctor Strange in London.
Oh, wow.
Next year. They have a release date. I just don't have it in front of me, so unfortunately I can't tell you.
Have they
haven't announced any casting. They might already have it, but they haven't announced it to the public yet.
You know, the other thing that's just a shame is that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver will not go by their code names in this film.
Yeah. I trust whatever Whedon's doing at this point. So.
Yeah. People trusted Palpatine too. How'd that work out?
Huh? It's a fictional character.
People trusted Emperor Palpatine. How did that work out?
I don't know. It's not real. So it didn't work out well.
Okay, well, you get your geek card revoked because you don't understand what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but I mean, it's not real. So, yeah, it didn't work out for those people.
Okay.
I'm talking about real people. go ahead.
No, it's kind of weird that we've got two different versions of these characters.
True. Yeah, it is. I agree with you.
But I think that I will like this Quicksilver more than I like the Quicksilver in the Sony version of Quicksilver, or Fox version of Quicksilver, I should say.
Yeah, well yeah, definitely can't wait. And I think we're going to start seeing, I was watching AMC's video YouTube show that they have, AMC Theaters, a really good podcast that they have. But when they were talking about the synopsis, one of the guys, I can't think of his name, escapes me. He's the gentleman who has the documentary coming out about the Tim Burton Superman movie that was aborted.
But, oh, yeah.
But he was, you know, chomping at the bit to talk about Age of Ultron. I gather apparently he went to the set and got to see a lot of shit, but you can't talk about it just yet. So I can't wait for them to start. There's a lot of stuff that's going to have us tripping. But anyway, this is not geeked out, so we can get off of that.
Well, I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
Looking at this synopsis, I get a feeling I'm going to have the same reaction as I did, because they talk about global adventure, ultimate test as the fate of the planet hangs in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same kind of hyperbole that I recall hearing about or getting a sense of when right before Terminator 2 came out. And when it came out and I was sitting there in the theater, I was so disappointed that it was basically just another protect John Connor from a Terminator that's come from the future. So I just get a sense I'm being set up that if you say epic and unique global adventure, I want to see that. I don't want to see this just taking place in New York, like another Battle of New York.
Well, I mean, they're true. It does take place all over the world. If you followed any of the production, you see these things are, these characters are traveling all over the place. Okay. I hope that, again, this is just fanboy hopes to the world. But if there is a part in that movie where they go to this African country called Wakanda and just be like, you know, Samuel Jackson's like, listen, you don't know about this place, but they got their own guy over here. And they just showed a glimpse, even if it's just a CGI stand-up. I'm like, okay, let's get this movie popping. They could introduce a lot of different things and just to be able to kind of show it and move on. But I'd be like, oh, we need that Panther, man.
But how crazy would that be?
I'd be a head bust, man. I'd be a head bust. And who says they don't? You know, like I said, we never know yet. It would be a great way to introduce all this stuff. You know, at least throw the ripples of it there and pick it up in its own movie.
Well, like I said, I mean, I did say that how are they going to, you know, fill the screen with all these characters and give them all their due screen time. But they did it in the first, Joss did it in the first one. So
yeah,
I guess he'll do it this time because they're adding the Vision and we want them to put the Black Panther in. We want them to put the Falcon in. So.
Yep. And the stakes will be high as possibly some people getting killed. So.
Gotta make that's what, real quick. And then we'll get off of this. How many of these, how many of the actors that you're aware of are contracted to appear beyond Avengers 2?
I think all of them.
All right, so then probably no one's going to be killed.
Well, it doesn't mean that the studio can't just do what they want to do. I mean, at this point, they could write anybody out. It doesn't.
I don't know why they would.
True, but again, being how Whedon works and how they've hinted at these things, I would not be surprised at somebody getting either killed or taken out, possibly. They're in a position where they can do something very different. Doesn't mean they don't have more movies of that character. That movies could be set in a different time. Who knows? But we'll see. All right, got to switch gears. Let's get into this one here. This is a local story to Seattle.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Mom of four raped sleeping man in West Seattle. I'm going to read a little bit of this here. Police have issued an arrest warrant for Chante Maine Gilman. Chante. A mother of four who prosecutors believe raped a man as he slept in West Seattle. The victim told police he went to a bed in his home the night before the assault and woke up to find, I'm going to use her name, Chante, a stranger on top of him. He demanded she move, but she refused and continued to have sex with the victim until he could work his way free.
This is not funny, but I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to picture. She was on, unless she weighs 500 pounds. He demanded she move, but she refused.
Yeah, it says she is a mother of four who is 8 months pregnant with her fifth child. Says she is in treatment at Eastern Washington, and she's been treated for medical health issues and drug abuse in the past. The victim told investigators he did not know Gilman beyond recognizing her as a drug user in the area. Gilman told police she didn't remember the incident and that she suffers from a mental illness and bipolar disorder. She's scheduled to be arraigned September 22nd.
So she's basically that chick from Fatal Attraction. I still don't understand until he could work his way free. What is she, Spider-Woman? Did she have him in the web or something? I don't understand. Work his way free. How does she get down?
It doesn't give any specifics here of like what she was doing physically or how that works.
How that works.
I mean, what was going on, man? Well, first of all, somebody broke in your house.
Yeah.
In your sleep. That's a scary thing. You don't know if it's a male or female. And then the fact that I was assuming someone has your genital out or something. You like, what the fuck? Like, I mean, that's some crazy stuff, man. You don't know. I mean, hey, man. I wouldn't take this lightly at all. I would probably beat the shit out of us. I don't know who this person is, crackhead or killer.
Sick. You don't know what kind of diseases she has.
Exactly.
But I just don't. Just something is missing here. How do you, I mean, I'm speaking as a man.
Well, there's a lot missing here.
I think I would know if someone is doing the do on me. That's the first thing. And I don't know how. Refused to move, and he had to work his way free. I don't understand. Was she high on PCP and super strong or something? I don't get it. And the thing is really, I mean, I guess it's rape. And it's rape a woman on a man. But the thing that would really, I really find disgusting is that she was 8 months pregnant.
I think she is now. I don't think at the time possibly when she
did this.
You know, I'm looking at some pictures of her. The fun picture they show was, I don't know, was like some sort of mugshot, but there's one here I'm looking now. She doesn't look bad here, you know.
Is this
her hair is a little funny, but you know, regardless of how she looked though, man, that's
can you name the five whoa,
that's some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I will. To me, she looks, I'm just seeing her face. To me, her face is she's extremely attractive young lady. But she's got issues.
Yeah, major, man. But you know what? I want him to throw the book at her just as if it was a man.
Of course.
Had been in the house. They need to throw the book at this. Yeah, actually, some of these pictures might be. Now there's another picture I'm looking at. She looks like she's a lot more weight on her. So I don't know what. Regardless of what she looks like, that shit is crazy. Like, she's lucky she didn't lose her life.
I just want more details. I don't understand how he couldn't get free.
It says official report involving the incident states that the victim told police that after going to sleep after a hard night of partying.
There you go.
He awoke at 2 a.m. to find Gilman on top of him, sexually assaulting him. Although the 31-year-old man demanded that she stop, she told him to calm down and continued the abuse until the victim broke free from the 240-pound woman.
What? 240 pounds?
As I said, put on a little weight. After the attack, the victim rushed to the hospital where medical personnel collected DNA evidence, which was just recently matched to Gilman. So, maybe, I don't know, it could have been oral or something. He's like, yo, what the hell are you doing? He could have been probably, he sounded like he says he was having hard night of pirate. What's going on, Floyd? Had a hard night of partying. Partying. I can't even say that word. Partying.
Yeah, there you go.
Damn. So he might have been hungover. Possibly.
I suppose.
And he was just like, whoa, what the hell? He's just, yo, stop.
Yeah, I just don't see if you're drunk that that's going to be your first reaction to this.
Oh, well, maybe not to you. Ain't not be the first.
If you're drunk.
Yeah, that's not, you know, that's not your woman. You don't know who this chick is. How she get in this house? Whoa, get the, yo. I mean, it doesn't mean, doesn't mean he was enjoying it. He probably was like, nah, what the, you know, limp.
Well, I'm looking at other pictures of baby girl and she, yeah.
Now
she,
it's baby girl.
She's a big girl. She's a big girl. I'll just leave
which
it
has nothing to do with it. She could have been.
I'm just saying that might be part of the reason he had a heart, and it combined with the fact he was drunk. If he were drunk, I could see him having difficulty extricating himself from the proceedings.
Yeah. So. Yeah, man, it's wild. Female rape does happen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No means no.
Well, I mean, it happens in school, it happens quite frequently nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So Yeah, unfortunate. I hope that, like I said, for her kid's sake, I hope that she gets the help she needs, man. Because I don't understand. You got four kids. You're pregnant with another one. You're out raping people.
She's out. Well, obviously, she's crazy. She's got some problems.
Yeah, man. I need Jesus
Christ. I think one of these kids we saw on a video calling a grown man a bitch, and another one we saw running through Chuck E. Cheese spitting on people.
Oh, geez.
We saw another one out in the street, walking the street at night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a little wild out there.
I'm gonna assume none of these men are in her life. None of the men who fathered these children are in her life.
Yeah, we don't know. We have no idea. All right. Last up, God, I'm almost sick of talking about this stuff, but going back to sports, the NFL, I got a story here that the NFL sponsors, Anheuser-Busch, are disappointed and increasingly concerned with the league. And I guess this is coming from a lot of their strong advertisers, McDonald's. They're just like, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It says Campbell Soup, Visa, and McDonald's also voiced their concerns with the NFL. And basically it's about, you know, the Ray Rice thing, you know, the Andre Peterson. Now the money is starting to say, hey, you know what? Y'all need to deal with this and deal with it quick, because the blowback's coming down on us. And if we pull back, then you guys would be hurting. And so that's why I think you have to start seeing some swift decisions being done. You have to see some leadership being done, because now it's starting to affect the people that's paying the money, the companies that's backing this shit, is going on Twitter and saying, hey, you know, slow down. And I think today they've announced that Andre Peterson. Adrian Peterson is being indefinitely suspended, I guess, until he can get his legal matters cleared up.
You know, correct.
There was another child he had that had some abuse allegations that happened before, and there's like a little cut on the child's head.
Yep.
It's not a good look, man. Not a good look.
See, I'm going to get on my Afro nerd soapbox rant right now.
Oh.
You can have all the advertisers, sponsors you want attacking the NFL, and maybe they should go after the NFL. But at the end of the day, these are grown men. The NFL are not necessarily – it's not – they are responsible. I agree. But going after them solely does not address the problem. You're not going to solve the problem. It's about, I'll say, a certain culture, being grown up in a certain type of household. I know people have been shut down for saying this, but a lack of parenting, a lack of a strong male figure in the household. It's more than the NFL. It's a societal thing. And so if you want the NFL to do something like this, and you're a company like Anheuser-Busch that has, I'm not going to say billions, but I know they have millions of dollars.
They got billions.
Okay. Probably do. Then put your money. Then you sponsored it. And it's not like this is the first time you sponsored the NFL. It's not like this is the first time you've ever seen violence in the NFL. I mean, did you have a problem when people were getting concussions every other game? There was one season, maybe 2 years ago, there was like three concussions in one season. Why don't you it's easy to blame the NFL, and they do share some culpability. But put some of that billions of dollars into educating people about, you know, how to raise your kids, or this sounds corny, but how to live your life. And that's a umbrella way of saying, you know, get into the community, educate the community where this stuff is happening. Don't just go after the quick fix, which is only going to get rid of people for now. But you got NFL is going to be around for years, decades, eons. So this is not going to change anything. Just getting rid of people does not change anything.
I agree. I don't think those companies care
Well, of course they don't care.
which for them, it's not about that. The only reason they even making any huff is because it's, again, they're being shamed into doing so. Otherwise, they could care less.
How do you know they're being, who's shaming
Aaron? Well, again, the blowback from the people, you know, from, you know, the woman groups are united. So they will boycott these different products, and that's how they get shamed and saying, you know what? Okay, the consumers are demanding change, and our whole company is based on the thoughts of the consumers, not the laws or not like solving real problems. It's just concerned to what consumers will think, because then it will stop them spending money. And if their consumer groups are now going to target the advertisers of the NFL, that's the only reason why they're saying something. They could care less.
Right.
About, so I agree with what you're saying, but I just know that these companies, they don't give a damn about that. They never did before, and they won't now. They're just going to, this is just a move, because look, we have to appease the dumb Americans. and they just want to see somebody take the fall. We ain't taking the fall. So we're gonna come out and say, hey, you know what? It need to be some change. We're gonna pull back a little bit to give that impression that we do care, so that we can keep making this money. But yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
Let's be clear. There's been nothing reported that I've seen, either on the internet, in the papers, or on TV, that says anyone is targeting Anheuser-Busch with a boycott or anything like that. So if they're doing this, they're doing it preemptively.
Well, right, and I'm saying they're shamed into doing. They have to start to stand up.
They're not being shamed into doing this because no one's coming after them.
Well, not yet. It's the same sort of thing like Robin Thicke thought.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, well, not yet.
But that's why I'm just saying they're not doing it because they care about solving the problem. That was my whole point.
Okay, maybe not. But it just seems. I mean, looking at the wording here, it seems like. Maybe they. I don't know.
The wording is done by really tight, dope ass attorneys that know how to play the game. That's what they're getting paid for. So it's going to be worded to pull at your strings and make you think they care.
I'm just saying it. That's true. I understand that they hired attorneys, and they're supposed to hire attorneys who can craft statements that represent their what they
want to present to you.
But what I'm saying is that looking at the statement that the Anheuser-Busch is owning up to, it seems like I want to believe that maybe they do care.
Well, they don't. That's what they want you to think.
If they do care, then don't just go after the NFL. And if you want to continue your sponsorship, play a more active role in solving the problem.
Right, but you know and I know they don't care. They want you to think that. But again, this is a beer company. So if they really cared, they wouldn't really be marketing the stuff that they do anyway the way that they do. So obviously they don't care about this. They would not have kids drinking. They would go hard to not have kids drink their beers and kids partying to have the colleges not have the beer. They don't do that. So why would they give a damn about this? This is, like you said, yeah. They've written this to make you think that they do care, which, hey, bravo. Great job. They got a lot of game. That's what business is supposed to do.
Do you know how much alcohol contributes? I don't know, but common sense tells me from all the anecdotal stories I've heard and read how much alcohol contributes to domestic murder, violence, rape.
I would imagine it's quite a bit.
Right. So why would they be all of a sudden concerned about this?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're not. But to play the game is that they have to come out, like you said,
to give you the impression
that they do. And that's going to appease the dumb Americans who are not going after the problem, but are going after these figureheads to try and make change, which, as you know, is not going to change anything. You can fire whoever you want in the NFL. It's not going to change the underlying problem. But again, the people that's causing, you know, people that's saying, hey, this is not good, they don't care about that either.
Okay, you misunderstood my words. What I mean is, why would they care so much that if no one's coming after them, which they are not, I have nothing is in front of us that says that people are coming after them, why would they take the time to do this?
I think, and I can only speculate, because for them, they probably have, again, they got a lot of money, so I'm sure they got a lot of focus groups and people that can watch how they're being perceived in the media, and it's probably say, you know what, we got to get in front of this. because that shit gonna blow back on us eventually, because this is normally how things may work.
Yeah, that's what I was
and
saying.
So this is why we have to make these moves.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have to get...
But it's not because they care. It's just this is what you're supposed to do.
They do care. They care.
Well, they care how they're being perceived. Huh. They don't care about the problem.
I don't... Maybe so, but I'm saying that they do care enough to not wait and say, well, let's just ride this out. We don't...
Oh, I agree. That's how a great big business is supposed to do this. This is how they're supposed to get down. If you're about money, you do this, right? Because you like, we ain't going to let the people dictate the narrative of how we're going to dictate the narrative and be in control and get in front of the story before they flip it on come after us.
So then what I'm saying is take your fear of the perception even further and put some money into actually helping to solve the problem.
Right. I agree with you. But again, they ain't going to do that. They don't care. Because okay. They would have done that before this. But they don't give a fuck about that. They may throw some chump change. Oh, we've donated some money to the da-da-da-da. I mean, that's how a lot of them get. That's the get down, right? You see a lot of people do that. But obviously, that changes nothing. That's probably what will happen. A lot of these groups are going to come out and say, look, you need to cut us a check. You know, and then we'll pull back. I mean, that's how we see a lot of racial things happen like that. You see a lot of I'm not going to name some of the people's names, but when those type of situations come down, you see that their money is exchanged or we made a donation to the such and such, da 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 da. And then, oh, okay, they stop the pressure. We can go back to getting this money. And they could possibly do that. Chump change to them, though. But that's the course of doing business.
Well. We'll see. I suppose we'll see.
Yeah, we will. We will see. But one thing that they're trying to do is keep your mind off Ferguson. but we ain't forgot, motherfuckers.
Is there more news out of Ferguson?
Well, if there is, they ain't reporting it, or is it? Because they got us busy on this madness. You know.
Well, no, that's just the media. You know, it was a story of the moment. It's time to move on.
Yeah, but it's interesting how all of these are. It's the NFL moment time. Now is this and this. We still got to keep our minds focused on the situation going on over there. Still haven't seen no indictments yet. It ain't over. It ain't over, motherfucker.
You know, it's just funny. Ever since Ferguson, you see everybody and their brother trying to claim police brutality or whatever. And some of them, just to look at the videos on, like, I'm on Facebook, to look at them, they do seem like the cops out of line. But like that woman from Django Unchained.
Oh yeah.
Come on, sister.
I'm on the phone with my daddy.
I can just talk to you. I can look at you and tell you crazy.
Here, my daddy wants to talk to you. I don't give a fuck. What the fuck is that? I probably wished I was a police officer. I took that phone and smashed it.
On her skull? Yeah.
Assume the position. It was fuck.
But she would have said, I just did that in the car.
Yeah. Now they got pictures coming out on her in the car. You see that?
I only pictures I've seen of her crying on the side of the road, handcuffed.
Yeah, now, I give you that. TMZ is on the case.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, goddamn. They hire them to find the terrorists, because them motherfuckers.
Harvey Levin is not playing.
Yeah, I mean, goddamn. They got everything. But yeah, they just put out some pictures of her in the car squatting. And so it just goes deeper. But I don't know how they are getting all of the scoops.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I guess.
Damn.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. Her story, man, look. I get it. I can get why. Well, here's two things. One, like you said, she was kind of that type to be kind of, what do they call it, entitled. You know, she tried to pull, not only try to pull the race card, try to pull the fame card. Like, my publisher, I don't give a fuck. So what? Who are you supposed to be? You had a bit role, bitch. Get out, man. Sit down.
She only had, what, three lines in the movie?
Yeah, you ain't, man. Get out. You like Miss, How you doing, Miss Parker? You about as, you ain't even as famous as her.
I don't even know who that is, to be honest.
On Friday, the lady across the street, that was when she bent over.
Okay, okay.
How you like the fuck, Miss? I mean, I know her more than... Fuck out of here, man. Ain't nobody. Django. I wish... What's the, who directed Django? What's his name?
Tarantino.
Tarantino. Please, please stop saying my movie's name. Before I do a special edition and cut you out that mother. Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, she was... You know, so I was like, okay. She's trying to play a lot of these little things. And the thing was, you're right, it's not fair and stuff. But even the dude, the boyfriend, was like, here, here's the ID. You know, just cut the shit, man. But I will say this. I watched the interview that they had on, I think it was on CNN or Today Show or something. And, you know, the guy was saying, her boyfriend was saying, it was interesting, though, that the cop was only sort of addressing me, asking for her ID. Like, why wouldn't he ask her for it? That could be a little dis. I could see how that would be. I would be sort of taken aback. It's like, motherfucker, I am a person. You want my identification? You can ask me for it. What's, how is he gonna give it to you? He's my boyfriend. So I can see the funniness, like kind of treating her like a trick, and he was a John. that was a little funny. That would be a little funny.
Well, if I saw a woman giving head to a guy in a car, I might think the same thing.
But they didn't see that.
Well, someone called about it.
Right, but I'm saying the police officer didn't see that, though.
But if someone calls a police officer saying this woman is having sex with a man in a car.
You still ask her for her ID. Why would you ask the John for her ID? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a little funny style. That would be kind of funny.
But I don't have that type of experience.
Well, no, I'm just saying in general, you would never ask the victim for the perpetrator's ID, right? That would make no sense. Oh, he robbed me. Oh, well, maybe, got his ID?
Maybe she was talking crazy or something.
Well, she was on the phone, right? If we are to believe what she says and even listen to the tape, she's on the phone with her dad.
Right.
So, again, if you want to take her stuff, ma'am, can you put the phone down? I got a question to ask. Do you have some identification? You wouldn't ask the dude.
But he asked the dude because she was on the phone, right?
Right, but the dude ain't got her ID. Why would the dude have her ID? Well, you never heard no cop asking somebody else for somebody else's ID. I mean, that's just never, I've never really heard that. That is kind of odd. Particularly if you think she's a prostitute, why would the John have the hoe's ID? That, I mean, just, I'm asking, even.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, it does seem.
You got that bitch's ID. Mean, unless he thinks he was the pimp. you got her pocketbooks. What's her ID? I mean, it don't make is so I can understand that's a little out of pocket, but does it warrant all the other madness? I don't know, but you know, hey, what do I know? All right, man. Do you have anything else? We're gonna wrap this thing up.
I think I'm good. I just know I know not to park my car on the side of the road and have anyone inside the car squatting. That's just kind of. Common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, go in a secluded area or something. And apparently, you know, people were walking up to the car like, can you please stop? So, yeah.
These photos, I'm looking at the comments. I went to TMZ. They don't really prove that there was any sexual activity. The photos don't.
No, not necessarily.
But if I mean, it just looks like some ghetto shit. That's, which is enough for the cops to come out, I would think.
Yeah. You know, hey, I don't know. Sometimes you got to pick your battles. That's all. For her,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'll say for her, this is a good media attention, right?
This is good media attention? I don't
think so. She's getting out there. She even said in an interview, I can do this and make this stance, and most people probably can't. And that's why I'm doing this. So I get it. I get why she's trying to stand up for this thing when the average person might not. Say, no, I'm not going to show it to you. Again, she knows she has a platform, which she's admitted to.
She's looking like a fool. What is she?
Well, she does, but I don't think she thinks she's looking like a fool.
Oh, well, because she's a fool.
Well, right, but I'm just saying that's why part of the reason why she's doing this. She feels as if she can do what the normal person can't. She has a platform. I have a publicist. I can make the da da da. I can make a platform and stand up. That's her word. So I see why she's doing it.
She's got a publicist, yet she's caught giving head to a guy in a car wearing a white.
Well, we all know she's giving head. Let's be clear.
A white t-shirt and some flower grandma shorts in a park. Yeah, I got a publicist. Yeah, your publicist needs to get fired.
We'll see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Two Nigs United for podcasting. And before we go, we got to tell you where we're at. Oh, before we go, I don't know if you saw this. Somebody left a comment today on This Is What We Do 25 on the page. And they said they can't wait to see the new leaks of Q-Storm, Big Sexy, and M. Dean.
The new leaks?
Nude leaks.
What? So What was the topic of those shows? The hell? What?
Well, we were talking about that, so.
We were?
Yeah. We were talking about Jill Scott and all that. I think you were on the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, go check that out.
Pardon. Come on now.
What's that? I'm telling you what people put on there.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to whoever put that on there.
Hey, I just said you'll be waiting.
Wow.
All right. So, with that said, Mr. Q-Storm, where can they find you? Where can they find those leaks?
Hold on. I'm just trying to get that image out of my head, bro. Yeah,
give me a couple more seconds.
Okay. You can find me at qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. You can also find me at Twitter at qstorm3476. And you can find me on YouTube. Just Google The Real Q-Storm, R-E-E-L. I put up the first video of my trip to Europe, and it's getting some coverage. And I'm going to put up the second video, hopefully by the end of this week.
All right. And you can find my pictures on thenext10inches.com.
Oh, see.
No, you can't find any pictures, nude pictures of me, but you can find me at Facebook. Look up Michael Dean. Also on Twitter, M. Dean. And I must promote and tell you that I am now doing podcasting full time, so I can definitely use your support. So please go to the website, podcastjuice.net, and sign up for all access. It's $5 a month, which probably is about, 25 cents per episode, which isn't anything. So, but it's a great way to help support what we got going on here. So I can definitely use all your help and support. So please help a brother out. With that, we will see you next time. Peace.
You know, I don't want to talk about new photos and then you talking about all access. Because it's not going down like that.
I know. Not that kind of access.